Father in heaven, I want to thank you, sir, for being so absolutely awesome in my life. Oh, Lord, you are something. Lord, we just appreciate the opportunity to be with you and your people, and to be with you through your people, your very body. Thank you, Lord. Pray that your anointing will rest upon us today. All that we do and say, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Eric, would you see that Barbara has a microphone? I need her to stand beside me. Barbara, if you want to just sit there, if the microphone's not real long, you could just sit there until it's time to, and we can trade mics. I want her to be close to me because I love to be surrounded by beautiful women. Mm-hmm. It's such a treat. Praise the Lord. We want to, Barbara and I are both going to share some things with you today that the Lord's been speaking concerning the kingdom of God. Now, you need to understand that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are really the same thing. In 32 cases in the book of Matthew, we see the kingdom of heaven. But the other disciples and the other writers in the Bible use the term kingdom of God. And so it's really the same thing. It's just was the choices were made by the authors as to what to call it. You can't separate God from heaven. God is heaven. Heaven is God. I mean, you know, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Jesus, kingdom of Christ. Amen. And so we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God today. And as I said, Matthew usually said kingdom of heaven. But praise the Lord for the kingdom of God. And I want us to get a little better glimpse of it today, what it is, because we're in it. And it's in us. And I feel like we're in about the second grade, spiritually speaking, we're about the second grade concerning our knowledge of the kingdom of God. And we should be in high school by now. But there's things about the kingdom of God we need to know because it is our now, it is our future. Amen? This teaching started a little over a week ago when in my own personal meditation before the Lord, I was in my what I call prayer thoughts, you know, as I'm meditating on the things of the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, we need a revival. You know, I guess being in the ministry, that's normal. I know Barbara says that a lot. We need a revival. You know, the church needs a revival. Maybe you've said that in your prayer life or even with your mouth. We need a revival. Well, deep in my innermost being, deep in my spirit where God lives, I heard an adjustment or what we might call a correction to my vocabulary, my terminology. And when I said, Lord, we need a revival, I heard him say to me, no, you need a kingdom. You know, and the Lord doesn't always explain everything with his first word. And so that's where it comes to meditation and study of the word and prayer and communication with him so we can determine, well, just exactly what does that mean? We need a kingdom. And so, my natural mind wants to argue a little bit. Well, Lord, we need a revival. We need a renewal. We need some fire. We need some, you know, church growth. He said, no, you need a kingdom. So I said, well, if I'm going to understand this, I need to study more about the kingdom, which Barbara and I have been doing all week. And so I want to start in Matthew 6:33. And we're going to read that, Matthew 6:33. Because if we need a kingdom, then we better start looking for one. Everybody said amen. Please bear in mind that there are certain plays on words that we could come into here and take this different directions, but I don't want to do that. I just want to try to stay with the word and what it's saying about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Did you find 6:33 of Matthew? Jesus is speaking. I love red letter editions of the Bible because it tells me real quick when Jesus is speaking. And when the boss speaks, perk up, listen up. Amen. He says, but seek first. Well, this tells me I can also seek second and seek third and seek beyond. But seek first. That gives it specific place. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things should be added to you. Barbara talked about that a few minutes ago concerning our giving. And rightfully so. It fits. But what I want to talk about this morning is the kingdom of God that we are supposed to be seeking. I like one place where Jesus says, seek and you shall find. Amen. Well, if I'm supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, where do I look? What's it look like? Don't I need to know? If I instruct you and say, you need to seek the kingdom of God, you're going to go, well, what's it look like? How do I recognize it? Let's just try that. Ivan, seek the kingdom of God. And he's going, okay, what's it look like? What's it smell like? How will I recognize it? Well, maybe we ought to go to Luke 17:20. What does the kingdom of God look like? Believe me, it's bigger than you, bigger than my definition this morning. It's huge. But we'll get some nuggets out of this morning. Luke 17:20 and 21. Are we getting this on a thing this morning? We don't have anybody on computer. That's okay. Okay, verse 20. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And the Pharisees were the religious group of the day. They were some of the most popular religious people there in Israel. And they're asking Jesus, where is this kingdom? When is it? What's it look like? How can we recognize the kingdom is what they're saying. And he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. They're saying, what's the kingdom look like? And he says, you can't see it. What's the kingdom like? And he says, it's not with observation. Well, this can throw you off. Say, well, how am I going to recognize it? If I can't observe, if it's not with observation that I would find the kingdom of God, what am I going to do? I'm commanded to seek the kingdom. And here you say that it's not obvious with observation. That kind of throws us off, doesn't it? But verse 21, kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is, if you've got your Bibles open, help me out. The kingdom of God is within you. Where do I need to find the kingdom of God? Where do I need to be seeking? Number one place is in me. The kingdom's everywhere because God's everywhere. But the first place I need to seek is on the inside of me. And first thing I need to find is Jesus. So step number one is do what the girls in the drama did. Get right with God. Repent. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Get Him in there. Invite Him into your life. Get Him in there. Because He has a kingdom to share with you for all of eternity. And the communication starts deep in our heart. Jesus is trying to turn our hearts from seeing the natural things to see the spiritual things. So here He's trying to turn our focus towards the spiritual. In Matthew, He said, seek first the kingdom and all the things come. It's like, you know, that this is big. Seek first. How many things do we seek before we seek the kingdom? It's easy to let all these things and the need of things get over in front of the kingdom, and we start seeking for life in general, for the needs, the supply, the pleasures, the very joy of it all, the, you know, peace. And we seek. Well, seek the kingdom first. Where is it? In my heart. This means I need to have an alive, up-to-date communication between me and God, heart to heart. I need to have an alive, up-to-date communication, spirit to spirit, with my God. Now, in my lightning fast brain, I tend to look for the kingdom of the future where Jesus comes, He rules as king. Every man sits under his own fig tree, and the lamb and the lion eat together, and the child plays on the hole of the asp, you know, the snake's den. And I long for that kingdom. I long for it. Just like Paul talked about, you know, the whole creation groans and travail for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to see God take over the planet. And I want to see Jesus as king. We used to sing a very popular song a few years ago, you know, to see Jesus as king. I want to see Jesus as king. And that's what I want. And so I tend to take the kingdom of God out of my heart and put it out there in the future somewhere. But He wants me to bring it back from the future. Hey, that sounds like a movie. Back from the future. Now I'm telling my age, huh? Back from the future. Get it back in my heart where it belongs so I can find it. Because I can't find anything in the future today. I have to wait till I get there. Right? Okay, we're on track. And Barbara and I studied and talked about this and visited with it. We even argued a little bit, but we kissed and made up. And it's like all my life I've had this, well, I don't know where I want to go. This is so big and I'm trying to condense it. Bottom line, He's trying to get us to seek Him inside of us. We come to church to find the Lord. That's good. We're going to keep doing that. But we really find Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We find him on the inside. Whether I'm at church or at home or at work, I find him and I find the kingdom inside of me. You still with me? And so we're wanting a physical, touchable, enjoyable kingdom. And he's wanting us to look inside in our heart. That tells me I need to get my heart right, in tune, corrected, adjusted, disciplined, pruned, built up, and edified. I need my heart in good condition because that's where I find the kingdom. And the closer I am to his righteousness, remember, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The closer I am to righteousness, the closer I am to the kingdom. Amen. Maybe we ought to go to Romans 14, 17. Bless you. I'm in Acts. I'll be in Romans soon. 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, in other words, natural things, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what does the kingdom look like? Does it look like meat or drink? It looks like righteousness and peace and joy. Now, if we come over into that place where we are enjoying and living in righteousness, peace, and joy, that's going to be kingdom living, and we're going to love it. And that will affect everything on the outside. And the revival that we need, the renewal that we need, is going to come into line because it's one of the things that follow seeking the kingdom. He wants us to have revival. He wants us to have renewal. He wants us to get on fire. But these things follow the seeking of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have a church for a long time have been seeking for revival, planning for revival, expecting revival, and it's coming. But we need to not get the cart before the horse. We need to realize that seeking the kingdom and his righteousness is number one. And when we get that right, the things will follow and the things will include revival. I really believe that's for us today like never before. The kingdom of God is attitude and it's heart condition. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. That tells me it's heart condition. The kingdom of God is my heart condition, your heart condition. Anyway, here, you know, my thinker sometimes gets in the way, but my thinker in its tradition, in its teaching, in my raising, I'm still looking for that kingdom come. Well, that's okay. But look for it first inside. And speaking of the kingdom to come, when Jesus returns and reigns as king, if you'll follow the plan that he's given us in many scriptures, as he comes in return, first thing he starts doing is turning men's hearts towards him, separating out those that won't turn to him. He gets everybody's hearts right. Gets everybody cleaned up. He even gets our bodies changed. Well, that's going to be fun. Because as he sets his kingdom in order, when we think of it as the futuristic, physical world kingdom, you know, planet Earth kingdom, he's going to set things spiritually in order first. Well, that's what he's doing now, setting things spiritually in order first. We seek for the kingdom of God within and seek him first. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The spiritual always comes first. Spiritual kingdom, natural kingdom. Spiritual kingdom of God, natural kingdom of God. But the spiritual always comes first. Even in the world of the devil, whether it's the God or the devil, the spiritual always comes first. If God wants to bless you, he conditions your spirit first. If God wants to bless you, he gets a hold of your heart first. If God wants to bless you, if he wants to draw close to you, if he wants to communicate with you, it becomes a heart-to-heart thing first. On the negative side, when the devil wants to mess with you, he starts with your heart first, through the medium of the head, usually. But the devil starts where God starts, over in the spirit realm, working on you on the inside, in order to affect the outside. So whether it's God trying to bless you and correct you and set your life in order, or the devil trying to destroy you, it all starts in the spirit first. And so we need to give close attention to the spirit person, the person deep within. That's why we need to have God personally. We need to have him in spirit. We need to have him in word. We need to have him in communication. We need to have him in prayer. We need to know God as our personal Savior on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute basis. Amen. Just for fun, turn to Matthew 3:1. In Matthew 3:1, we have John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was preaching before Jesus preached. And he said, and I believe it's the first two verses, Matthew 3:1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he's saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here, before Jesus ever starts preaching, John the Baptist has the message. And he's saying, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. In other words, he's saying, get your heart right because the kingdom of God's at hand wanting to come in. Get your heart cleaned out, cleaned up, opened up because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's right there ready, waiting, available. The kingdom of God's ready to enter in. As soon as the repentance takes place, God fills up the place. Repent, throw out the old, kingdom of heaven comes marching in. Spirit of God comes marching in, bringing the kingdom truths, the kingdom blessings, kingdom benefits, kingdom life, kingdom future. It's all on the inside, and it starts with repentance, heart condition. Interesting. Okay, while we're in Matthew, go to 4:17. We heard John the Baptist preach, repent. Now in 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach. Here, Jesus is preaching now. It's funny, he preaches the same message as John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Maybe there's something here we need to hear. If John preaches it first and then Jesus follows up on it and they're all preaching the same thing, repent, the kingdom's at hand. Repent, get right. Get your heart corrected because the kingdom of God wants to come in and fill it up. Yeah. The kingdom is at hand. That means it's ready. Amen. Barbara, your guest is going to be here in just a minute. Maybe we should go to chapter 6. We're in Matthew. The Lord's Prayer is found about, starts about chapter 9. Jesus prays, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. I found it interesting here that when Jesus prays to his Father for the kingdom to come, he also includes right away, forgive us our debts. That sounds like repentance. The kingdom is at hand. Huh? We all praying it, thy kingdom come. You know, sooner is better. Not sooner or later, sooner is better. Thy kingdom come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's get this thing straightened up. Amen. Well, let's not forget, he wants us to pray, forgive us of our debts. Lord, forgive me where I'm wrong. I repent. I turn away from sin. I turn away from carnality. I will do what is right before you. I'll seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, I repent of evil. I seek the good. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. In this global earth as it is in heaven. Oh my. Now, while Barbara's about ready to go with some of the characteristics of the kingdom, we're going to Colossians 1:27. And in Colossians 1:27, we have one of the ways that Paul talked about all of this. Did we find it? I did. 1:27, Colossians. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is another way to say the kingdom is within us. Because you can't separate Christ from his kingdom. They're one and the same. And here, Christ in us is the hope of glory. So the kingdom in us is also the hope of glory. Everybody say it's all inside. Now, Barbara's going to share with us some of the characteristics of the kingdom.
In Matthew, again, Matthew chapter 5, we have the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus sat and taught. And this sermon that he taught has a lot of the characteristics of the kingdom and what it looks like inside of us. Matthew 5:1, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, that's Jesus, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. That word was seated in the Greek is katheso, and it was used in Jesus' final commandments in Luke 24:49, where Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. So set, having he set, isn't just he was just, it just doesn't mean set down. It means that he occupied a spiritual sphere. This word is used more than 50 times in the New Testament, and it's connected with seats of authority, which, number one, it's connected with thronos, which represents political authority. It's connected to Burma, which means represents judicial authority, and cathedra, which represents spiritual authority. And most of the time in the Gospels, when it Jesus said he sat and he taught, it means he occupied a place of spiritual authority. The king's throne, it was a sphere of authority that he occupied. And in Ephesians 1:19-23, it says, "And when and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him," and that is the word katheso, "he occupied a place of authority at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." And a few verses down in Ephesians 2:6, it says, "And has raised us up together and made us set together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." And that word set is also katheso. He has, that's past tense, he has raised us up to occupy a place of spiritual authority, and that's now. It's already positionally in place that God wants us to occupy right now, the places of authority. Hallelujah. In a lot of places in the earth, there are these places of authority in the spirit, spiritual authority, judicial authority, and political authority. But most, a lot of times in the earth, it's demon spirits that's occupying those places. But God called us to rule and reign with him, and he wants us to rise up and begin to take those spiritual places of authority, because he has raised us up in that place to occupy these places of authority in the earth. Hallelujah. That's what we're to do. Going on to down to verse 3 in the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in the Amplified, it says the humble. And this is opposite of self-sufficient. We're not to trust in ourselves or our own resources. We're to trust in God and be completely dependent on him. We need to recognize that without the fullness of God, we really have nothing. Without God's spirit within us, we really ourselves have nothing. Jesus didn't have, he didn't depend on himself. He wasn't independent or self-reliant. Jesus said in John 5:19, "The Son," and this is talking about Jesus, "can do nothing of himself." Jesus lived completely dependent on his Father. And when Jesus was speaking about his followers in John 15:5, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But then on down in 15 verse 7, he said, "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done unto you." So he does want us to have authority and rise up to those places of authority, but it's in him. It's in him, and it's his spirit within us. It's not ourselves. And our attitude, the attitude of our heart, needs to be, in him, everything is possible, but without him, we can do nothing. And then down into verse 4 in Matthew 5:4, it said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We can find many examples of people in the Bible who mourned over their nation, over their family, over things that were going wrong. They would mourn, and we also, there's another word for that called travailing in prayer. Birthing prayer, prevailing prayer. You mourn. Whatever grieves the heart of God should grieve our heart. And until we mourn for our town and weep tears of repentance and reap and grieve over the godlessness that's here and the troubles that's here and the needs of the people, you know, it says that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So if we travail in prayer for our community, we will be comforted and the answer will come. Psalms 176:5 said, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a promise of the Lord. And then in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 5, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Biblical meekness is not like self-effacing. Its root meaning is the denial of self, so that we are no longer concerned what people think about us, but our concern is how are we portraying the Father God? How is my life making my God look? Is it going to be a testimony to the goodness of God and the power of God? Matthew 11:29, in the NIV, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. So Jesus, our pattern is gentle and humble. And if we want the kingdom to come in our life, if we want the kingdom to come in our family, in our church, in our city, you know, thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done in me, in my family, in my marriage, in my church, in my city, the way that it's done in heaven. There can't be power plays about who's the most important person. And that's even in a marriage. You can't have power plays about who's more important here. There's a meekness and a gentleness and a humbleness. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, learn to be the servant of all. So that as one of the characteristics of the kingdom is humbleness and servanthood and not being proud. You know, it's like, it says the meek will inherit the earth. Hallelujah. If we want to inherit Douglas, we need to pray that as a Christian body and as a Christian in this town, we'll come to a place of humbleness, and that all competitions between churches or between Christians is really, really a terrible thing. And as long as there's competitions and one wanting to exalt themselves above the other, you know, the kingdom of God can't come because it comes to the meek. The meek inherit the kingdom. Down in verse 6 in Matthew 5, it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is right standing with God, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I mean, every one of us at one time or another needs mercy. All of us come to places in our life where we need mercy. And if we want to receive mercy, we need to give mercy. We need to be merciful and generous in our mercy to others. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And that sons of God mean the grown-up, mature sons of God. The Greek word for peacemaker here is irene. And this doesn't mean peace in the sense of an atmosphere of tranquility. It's primarily a relationship and means the mending of a relationship that was formerly broken and hostile, so that the two parties who formerly hated one another are perfectly reconciled. It's closely connected to the word for reconciliation, which we read so much about in the scriptures. At the time the Bible was written, the word irene also medically spoke of a bone that had been broken and healed. And where there's been a break, when it heals back up, it's stronger in that part, in that point, than it was before. And so God wants us to be peacemakers where relationships had been broken, that they are mended back together. Hallelujah. And we know Jesus reconciled us to himself. I'm going to read Colossians 1:20 in the Message. It says, "And through him, having made peace through the blood of his cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether the things on earth or in heaven." It's possible to be a child of God and still be an immature troublemaker and cause divisions, but to be a grown-up, mature son of God, we must be peacemakers. We must be people that make peace.
Amen. Amen. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is in me. Barbara, as I look at my own life, I see in my past, I see that in my raising and in my immaturity, I've seen that I've had this, I'm going to call it a rapture slash let's go to heaven mentality. And this has hindered me. It's really hindered me from allowing God to develop the kingdom of God within me. Because if I'm to ever expect to enjoy and fit into the kingdom come, I must get the kingdom within in line with the word of God and get it developed into a mature place of God. And I really want to adjust my thinking and adjust my theology and adjust my heart to become kingdom-minded, kingdom-hearted, kingdom-spirited. I want to become a kingdom person, because we gave you just a very few verses out of a multitude of verses where the Bible is teaching us about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. As we said earlier, Jesus said, the first thing you do is seek the kingdom and the righteousness. First things first, seek the kingdom. We tend to want to, Jesus, come fix everything. I don't have to do anything. No, you do have to do something. We got to get it right in here. Allow the development of the kingdom in here. Allow the development of the characteristics of the kingdom to be a part of our everyday life. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we're going to change over to a little bit of different mode of things. I need a little music. If I could get a minstrel up here and just something real gentle, easy, and low volume, please. Everyone just pray with me for a minute. Father, Lord, we really want to learn more about this seek the kingdom thing. We want to learn more about the fact that you preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's ready. Lord, the kingdom. Lord, you talked to your people, the Israelites, in the days of Moses, and even before that, you talked to them about establishing a kingdom and a throne forever and ever. Lord, you gave Isaiah the beautiful prophecy that we read every year at Christmas, where Jesus comes and Savior is born, and there be no end to his kingdom. Lord, the kingdom's what it's all about. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll get us kingdom-minded around here. Lord, that we as a people, individually and corporately, will become more kingdom-minded. Lord, help us realize the kingdom's within us, and even that is part of the setting up of the kingdom. The kingdom development within us is part of the establishment of the kingdom. And Lord, for that beautiful kingdom come that we know is in our future, Lord, we want to fit into that. We don't want to feel out of place. We want to know what the kingdom's all about. We want to know how it works and how it's governed. Father, teach us of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. As we talked about, Barbara and I talked about and prayed about this sermon today, we saw the Lord wanting to minister to some families here. You see, there's an old saying that a man's house is his kingdom, or turn it around, a man's kingdom is his house or his home. Have you ever heard that? Man's kingdom is his home. And I want to pray for some families today. And I'm going to give it to you the way I saw it. I don't know, wherever the Lord wants to take it, it's fine with me. But He just gave me the first phase of it. And He showed me like a vision of Barbara and I praying for Robert and Erica. And I want you guys to come up. The Lord's going to use you as seed to get this thing started. Robert and Erica, any of your kids that's with you, please come up for prayer. Because, Robert, your kingdom is your house, your kids, your wife, your home. And God wants to develop His kingdom right there in your home. And if you're a family here today, even in part, maybe just part of a family, and you want to jump onto this and jump into it, I want you to just feel free to start coming up. I'm calling these guys up because that's when I was in prayer, I envisioned this. And this is as far as my vision went. So other families are welcome to come. But God wants to develop His kingdom characteristics in you as a family first. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, He does it well. First of all, it's personal, man to man, woman to God, person to person. But it's also the family. The family needs to be developed into a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom that's pleasing to God. And Lord, we just pray for this family today. We pray for Robert as the head of the house and the marriage. We pray, Lord, for his wife and his children. We pray for this family that the kingdom of God will become rich in their understanding, that the characteristics of the kingdom will become rich in their everyday activity as a family, that they will begin to recognize those beautiful lessons of the Beatitudes that Jesus taught, that they begin to recognize in one another the need for and the application of humbleness and mercy and goodness and the hunger for God and all these things that are in those beautiful Beatitudes. Let those characteristics be found in their house. I pray that as the parents seek your kingdom and your righteousness, they'll begin to recognize the characteristics and recognize how to apply them to family decisions. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, bless this marriage. Bless this family. Bless this little kingdom. Lord, as Robert looks out over his family, maybe as he looks at his children as they go to sleep at night, he's looking at his little kingdom. He's observing his little kingdom. And Lord, I just pray that this kingdom be in line with the Word of God, in line with the will of God, and that this kingdom be blessed abundantly. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For you who have families, you have a kingdom. And this is so awesome, so beautiful. If you have a family, you have a kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to twist arms and I don't want to, you know, make it seem hard or awkward in any way, but I just feel like there's some more families that need to come up and have your kingdom blessed. There's the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, you know, there's the kingdom within, but there's the family kingdom that we're dealing with right now. Holy Spirit has directed us to deal with a family kingdom right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Just obey God. I'm not, you know, let God tell you whether to come or not. And you, even as one or two people, can represent your whole family. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's so good. So good. Lord, thank you for your kingdom. And thank you for these family kingdoms, Lord. It's so special. So special. If everybody will move your toes right up to the carpet, it kind of helps us usher things. Thank you so much. Father, we bless this kingdom right now. Lord, we know these two people represent a beautiful kingdom. And even in our heart's eye, even in our mind's eyes, we pray we see the other members of the kingdom, the other subjects of the kingdom. But Lord, we bless this little kingdom. This little family kingdom we bless in the name of Jesus Christ. And we call the very characteristics of the kingdom into this family. That the parents and the grandparents will recognize the characteristics of God's kingdom. They'll recognize where it's at and where to seek it. And it's all with you. And we are to seek you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. The family kingdom. Ramon, I have an instruction. I believe this is of the Lord. I really do. He wants you to survey your kingdom. You three stand here today, but there's other members of your kingdom, and he wants you to survey your kingdom. Check it out. As a king would stand up on a mountain and survey his kingdom, I want you to survey your kingdom and say, Lord, what can I do to bless this kingdom? What can I do to bring this kingdom into line with your kingdom? What can I do, Lord, to increase and build up and strengthen and edify this little kingdom you've given me? And the Lord wants you to be proud of your kingdom, to take joy in your kingdom. They are the gift of God to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for the kingdom. Two more representatives of a larger kingdom. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, it's just getting started. The kingdom's just, what God's doing in this family kingdom is just beginning. It's like, you may think we started a long time ago. No. In the eyes of God, you're just really getting started now. Everything else has just been a pre-build-up, a getting ready, a preparation. Your years past have been a preparation for the mighty things God's doing. And your kingdom will not be divided. It would appear sometimes in the natural that the kingdom's divided, but no, God's bringing it all together. He has a way, he has a time, and he'll get the job done. He's on this. God's on this. And your kingdom will not be divided. Your kingdom will be together, united. In Jesus' name, he's waiting for the exact heart condition so that the uniting of the kingdom can prosper and develop into beautiful things in the kingdom of heaven. There's ministry ahead. There's callings to be fulfilled. There are mighty, mighty things in the kingdom of God that this family kingdom will participate in. You can count on it. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Be patient. God's on this. Your kingdom will flourish in Jesus' name. Two more representatives of a much larger kingdom. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Al and Cindy's kingdom. You know, Al, your dad's with the Lord. So you're top dog, head honcho. You're the boss now. You're the boss. You're the main man, Al. And what you pray is powerful in the eyes of God. What you say about your kingdom and to your kingdom is powerful in the eyes of God. In Jesus' name. I pray for a strength in Al and Cindy that they've never had before. A new, powerful, renewed strength to serve God with a vigor. To stand strong with a vigor and with a positive attitude and say, family, we're serving God. Just like Joshua said in the book of Joshua, in the first chapter, I believe it is, he said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You just keep saying that. You're the boss. You're the man. You are head of the family. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's been passed down to you. You're the head of the family, and what you say goes. And sooner or later, everybody has to line up with it. So you just keep saying the will of God. You just keep saying the will of God. My family will serve the Lord. My family will serve the Lord. You say that until you see it. If it takes 1,000 years, it don't matter. Just keep saying it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the family. Reuben, would you come and interpret for me, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the family. The family of God. The family of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the family.
Gracias, Señor, por la familia. Gracias, Señor, por la familia. Gracias por el reino de Dios que está en esta familia. Y los padres y en los hijos. Gracias por el reino de Dios. La mera vida de Dios. Aún el gobierno de Dios que está dentro de esta familia, en los padres y en los hijos, la voluntad de Dios, los propósitos de Dios, las razones por las cuales de su reino están en esta familia, y Dios cumplirá cada promesa que ha hecho a los padres y lo que ha hecho a los hijos. Cada promesa se llevará a cabo. Ser fiel, buscar el reino de Dios y la justicia de Dios, y todo lo demás seguirá, y su reino familiar prosperará y estarán en salud, y Dios tiene un futuro para usted. Oh, un futuro grandioso y prosperado. Mirar así en fe hacia cosas maravillosas, grandiosas, porque el grandioso y poderoso vive en usted, y Él es rey de tu casa, Él es rey de tu reino. Bendígalo, Señor. Bendígalo, Señor. Anímalo, Señor. Desarrolla tu reino en ellos, Señor, en el nombre de Jesús.
Thank you, Lord, for the representative of this kingdom. Lord, this mother, this sister, this daughter, Lord, she represents her family. And while she's representing the kingdom of her family, she also represents the kingdom of God, because as a born-again Christian, she's an ambassador of Christ, calling men and women, boys and girls, unto salvation. As an ambassador of Christ, she calls into her kingdom, her family kingdom, and says, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come and receive life. Come and be living in Christ. And come and let the living Christ live in you. Oh, come, children. Come, brothers and sisters. Come, family. Come to the King of Kings. Come to the King of Kings and live. Oh, as an ambassador of Christ, keep giving out the call. Keep giving out the call. Don't twist their arm. Let God do that. Your place is just to call. Call. Call them in. Call them in. Call them in your prayers. Call them in with your kind words. Call them in. They'll come. They'll come. Take heart. They'll come. Your family, your kingdom will grow and prosper in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this kingdom family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of this family that's in the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, that this family kingdom represents many more people than the three that stand in this line. Even the fathers, the ancianos, and the children, los niños más chiquitos, all of them are part of the family, part of the kingdom. Lord, is even in the earthly realms of kingdoms, the king has many subjects in every area of life, and in every lifestyle there are subjects in the kingdom. And in your family there are subjects in the kingdom. They all won't be alike. Don't expect them to be alike. Don't expect them to think alike or even act alike, because they're all individuals like any subjects in any other kingdom. They're individuals. But your part is to set an example so that they can learn from your example the characteristics of the kingdom of God. And your family kingdom will prosper and be blessed. and be developed into the kingdom of God. The principles of God will be applied to the principles of your family, one by one, little by little, line upon line, and precept upon precept. As you set by example kingdom characteristics in front of your family, they're going to take notice, and one by one, they're going to follow. They're going to follow. You're going to see many of your relatives on both sides of the family. You're going to see many of your relatives come closer and closer to the kingdom of heaven. And some of them are going to be like somebody getting up close to the water, and all of a sudden they just fall in. All of a sudden they just fall in. You're going to see your kingdom prosper. You're going to see your kingdom grow. In Jesus' name. And as for the future, that's in God's hands. That's where it belongs. Oh, you'll be there. You'll be there sooner than you think. But just keep it in God's hands, and He'll have everything prepared. When you get to your future, it'll all be set in order because you were seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And everything that follows will be in their order. Your kingdom, your personal kingdom, is blessed and will prosper. Your family kingdom is blessed and will prosper. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody just raise your hands and begin to love on the Lord. Just tell Him you love Him. Right now, just take, even if it's just a few seconds, just connect to Him right now. And just say, Jesus, I love you. I need you. Be the King of my kingdom. Lord, be the King of my kingdom. Be the King of my family, Lord. Be King in my family. Be King in my life. Be King in the lives of my children. Be King in the life of my spouse. Be King in us, Lord. I want my family kingdom to be in line with God's kingdom. Oh, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost.
Bill and Connie, would you all come up here? Connie just fell down. She couldn't stand up.
We can go back there. What we're going to, they're getting ready to go back to Maine, or it looks like they probably have to. And they're still taking care of some family business. Has to be loose ends tied up there. And the Lord's been with them in a mighty way the last 2 months. They've been through, we just can't talk about it all right now. But they are living evidence to the grace of God. You're looking at two people who are living evidence that there's a real God and that He cares for His people. And if you want details later, you can talk to them about it. But they've been through it, and they've come through victorious. Hallelujah. So just reach your hands up here.
If anyone
somebody
wants
to come and pray, put your hands on them, feel welcome to do that. Hallelujah. But we love this couple immensely, and God loves them even more. And we just pray that they will be stronger than ever. Stronger than ever, stronger than ever, stronger than ever, in Jesus' name. Strength, 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 strength. Kingdom strength. Kingdom strength. Kingdoms, the kingdom doesn't fall. Sometimes men will fall. Sometimes people will fall, but the kingdom stands. So we call kingdom strength into Bill and Connie's physical bodies. Kingdom strength into their psyche. Kingdom strength into their spirit person. Kingdom strength. Kingdom strength. The strength that stands. The strength that endures. The strength that succeeds. The strength that triumphs. Oh, kingdom strength triumphs. There'll be no end to the kingdom of Christ, nor its increase. We have God's word on that. And I just pray that Bill and Connie and all their decisions for their family will have kingdom strength and kingdom knowledge. Oh, that things be set in the perfect kingdom order. That the days to come be even bring pleasure. Let the days to come and the events to come in the next few days bring pleasure as they rejoice in what the Lord has done. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I want all the men to say this. My home is my castle. And my castle is in God's kingdom. Say it again. My home is my castle. And my castle is in God's kingdom. Just begin to visualize that. You know, back like you would, you know, 500 years ago or something. Just, you've got a beautiful castle in the kingdom of God. And it's called your home, your wife, your children. You know, visualize your wife dressed like, you know, 500 years ago. Let's pray for Brother Lalo. Reuben, please help. Hermano Lalo, Dios está haciendo grandes cosas en ti. Él tiene muchos, muchos más bendiciones para usted, para su familia, sus hijos. El Señor aprecia mucho su corazón muy humilde. Gracias, Ruben. Oh, hermano, Dios tiene grandes cosas para usted. Grandes cosas.
Gracias, Señor. Señor, en el nombre de Jesús, te alabamos. Bendecimos a este cuerpo, este sistema de sangre, Señor. Bendecimos la circulación, Señor, de esta pierna, este sistema, Señor, de todos los músculos de su cuerpo, Padre. El mero esqueleto de todo este cuerpo, cada célula de este cuerpo, desde arriba de su cuerpo hasta los puntas de los plantas de sus pies, Señor. Bendecimos, Señor, y pedimos por fuerzas. Y salud, salud poderosa, fuerte, fuerte, fuerte cuerpo en el nombre de Jesús. Que la sanidad venga pronto, Señor. Que la sanidad venga pronto en el nombre de Jesús. Que se van a maravillar los doctores. Que los doctores sean completamente maravillados, porque ellos dirán: ciertamente tuviste ayuda espiritual, porque has sido sano rápido, en un progreso rápido, sano, completo. Oh, en el nombre de Jesús. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor, por el poder de Dios, por la sangre de Cristo, por la autoridad en el nombre de Jesús. Gracias por la oportunidad para llevar este ejercicio de fe y parte de mi hermano ser bendecido, ser sano y fuerte en el nombre de Jesús. Aleluya. Sí.
Blessings, 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 blessings. Well, I was about ready to say you can go home, and I guess you can if you need to, but I'm just going to take my liberty. I got to pray for one more little kingdom right here. Magic Man, give me a hand. I love you, dude. I really do. I care about you. Hold hands. Father, I bless this kingdom. This daddy and this mommy, this mama and this papa. I bless them. I bless their marriage. I bless those babies, Lord, those precious little babies growing up so fast. But Lord, this family is a kingdom family. And Lord, you've brought them into your kingdom for such a time as this. There's no mistake. They've made no mistake. You've made no mistake. They're doing the right thing. They've come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this, because you have great plans for them and their family, for their children. And I just pray that this beautiful family, this beautiful kingdom family, will prosper and be healthy, that the marriage will be healthy, that the relationship to children will be healthy. Lord, that even in the job market, in the job place, that that'll be healthy. Lord, that every aspect of their lives, Lord, every aspect of their future will be a healthy thing, a good thing, that they'll receive grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy on every hand, and that that goodness of God will keep them repentive and humble before you. Lord, bless this kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, why don't you give a big hug and a kiss to about 50 people? And go have a really super duper day. Amen. And for those that can come back tonight at 6, we would love to see you for a time of worship. God bless you.